Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. So much to react to from a very, very busy weekend. Mostly good Saturday, I would say, certainly from my perspective. An okay Sunday, but not great as far as the Falcons are concerned. We'll get to all of that over the next 3 hours. Good morning to you, Abe, who's in for Randy all week long.
I am very happy to be here. A lot to say, and it just the emotional high of watching Georgia do what they do and then sliding into having to watch the Falcons just completely not show up. That was a weird dichotomy of Saturday night into Sunday, you know, at mid-afternoon, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it felt like, they were kind of opposite performances, right? Similarly mediocre play from the quarterbacks, from both Carson Beck and Kirk Cousins.
I don't think Kirk played poorly, though.
There were times where it was good, and then obviously there were a few mistakes. And look, Drake London has to catch that pass, and Kirk is under duress because the offensive line wasn't playing particularly well. There was some bad throws as well, but yeah, I mean, for Georgia to come out and jump on Texas the way that they did and just show up in a way
hilarious.
That was... That was indicative of what this era has been. I mean, it was don't kick dirt so quick. I mean, I realize they lost to Alabama and maybe a couple subpar performances here and there. But when it's time to go, they're as capable of doing that as anyone is in the country. And they showed that very clearly for the whole game, obviously winning it. But in the first half, just an absolute like, all right, we're still Georgia performance.
Yeah, well, what did we say Friday? It's like we do still believe this team's in there, even though they hadn't shown it. Well, guess what? At least on one side of the ball, they decided to show it. And if I'm Oregon, if I'm Ohio State, if I'm Texas potentially, or Penn, whoever else you think is in this discussion for a national championship, I would be terrified. And what scares me the most is that I believe, all right, we talked about show it. I know it's in there somewhere, show it. They did that on defense. I still think the offense is in there somewhere. And if they ever put it together, he had three interceptions.
He did. He did.
One of those led directly to one of the two scoring drives Texas had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they play well on that side of the ball and then do what they did on defense, which, by the way, reminded you why they continue to have first-round draft picks.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I think a lot of those guys being healthy and being back, and
sure,
they're still not fully back on defense. I don't know that they will be, but they were closer to it, and you saw those two dudes on the edge just absolutely destroying what Texas wanted to do.
Seven sacks.
Which is something that, dude.
Seven.
Jalen had three of them in the first half by himself. Like, we talked about it last week, going back to the last time Texas had lost, what Washington was able to do to them from an edge rush perspective. It's like, if you get after Quinn Ewers and move him off his spot, he's not a very good quarterback. He's good in the pocket, and he's good at sort of picking up dirty yards with his legs, but on the move, he's not particularly good. And they, man, he felt them in a way that I don't know that he's felt any defense outside of maybe one or two in his college career. Maybe none, honestly.
The other problem was the short pass game, which we talked about. That's what they stuck to against Oklahoma, and it worked. Georgia tackled.
Yeah, Georgia tackled.
Georgia tackled.
For the first time all year.
They had to open up a deeper pass game, which means Quinn Ewers is sitting back there, which allows the pass rush to get home. Now, it was a perfect defensive game plan.
They did a bunch of stuff that we haven't seen them do, and we said we needed to see them do in order for them to win. Those guys on the edge obviously getting home and just making the day very long and very frustrating
for
Quinn Ewers. They bottled the run up in a major way, which we thought they were going to be able to do because Texas' run game's not great. They had been okay, but that sort of looked like the glaring weakness that they had. And then they tackled awesome in space. Conversely, on offense, there's a lot to be desired from Beck and the receivers catching the ball. Because I know Beck's going to get the the brunt of it, and he should. He's the quarterback.
But at least one of the picks.
At least one of them and multiple other plays.
Yeah.
Multiple other passes that were there to be had. I don't know what the final number was in the end as far as drop pass yardage. I know he was second in the nation coming into the game in terms of drop pass yardage. Almost 200 yards have been dropped from receivers. There were a bunch of drops in that game. One of them had led to an interception. Others led to just big moments not being capitalized on, especially early in that game. But they blocked well. I will say they didn't catch the ball well, but the receivers blocked well, and they ran the ball well. And Etienne had a great game.
And it's not the biggest game stat-wise, but impact-wise. Three touchdowns are three touchdowns.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, the yardage totals, the yards per carries weren't massive numbers. The impact, though, that his ability to run had on that game extends well beyond the box score.
The moment from that game that people are probably going to talk about longer than the result obviously is what happened at the end of the third quarter.
Right.
You had the interception that was overturned, called pass interference, and then all the Texas fans lost their minds, threw a bunch of stuff on the field. Because of that, the game was delayed by 5 minutes or whatever. During that delay, the refs had time to talk, and they did, and then they overturned it. They went back the other direction.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that before. I can't remember a moment like that before. I will say this, a couple of things about it. It was a bad call. It was not pass interference. It was a bad call. It should have been an interception, and the way that it should have gone down is it should have just been not called.
The process isn't the problem. The timeline's the issue.
That's right. That's right. So in the end, they did get to the right call. The way they got to the right call is obviously the problem, and you can't do that. You can't spend that time having that conversation on something that's not reviewable. You also set just an egregious precedent where it's going to happen at some point from now to the end of the year where a team gets a bad call and their fans are going to act like that.
So I want to talk about that
to delay the game.
Like, I understand the criticism, but like, in my opinion, this is not a Texas fan issue. Like, every fan base does this. We've seen Braves fans throw stuff. Texas, like Tennessee did it a couple years ago. Like, fan bases throw stuff on the field when they're unhappy.
Okay.
That's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
The officials still
hang
need
on,
to.
Hang on.
Go for it.
Every time it happens, it's an issue.
No, I agree
whether
with
it's that. Braves fans in
I'm
that
suggesting pop, it's not just a Texas thing.
Fair enough.
That, yeah.
But it
needs to not happen anywhere.
In this instance, it is a fan issue, a Texas fan issue. They got fined $250,000 for it. I don't know that that really matters.
They're supposedly looking at tape.
None of those fans are going to have to pay a dime of that fine.
Well, supposedly you're going to try and look at tape and find the fans and are banning them from future events.
Good luck with that. We'll see. We'll see if that happens or not.
High-quality cameras?
But yeah, no, you're right.
I'm just saying it's a process. They're not the first fan base to get upset and display.
Yeah, they're also very much not going to be the last because they're the first fan base that's ever been rewarded for it.
Well, we saw the memes yesterday during the NFL season. Hey, Cleveland, just throw stuff on the field. Maybe they'll delay the game. Like, I mean, yeah.
Our pastor is a very big sports fan, and we always driving in try to figure out what sports reference is going to be made.
Oh, boy.
He said at the end of it, if anybody didn't like that sermon, especially up top, just litter me with garbage, and I'll try to fix it.
I'll try to
do it again. Pretty good. Pretty solid. No, I mean, look, that was a crazy moment. Ultimately, thankfully, it didn't come back to impact the outcome
of
the game.
How much bigger would it be if it did?
Oh, I mean,
it'd be all we're talking about.
Yeah. Kirby was right, though. I mean, Kirby's very, very infrequently going to do what he did at the end of the game and actually say something about the referees. He was right to do so because that moment was awful. There was a couple of other calls in the second half that were a little bit like, all right, they're in the SEC now, but we're still in Texas. Like, this is still a Texas situation. Man, I don't know. Anyway, Georgia with a great win. Great, great win. 30-15 on Saturday night. We'll hear some from that. We'll get back into what the Falcons were unable to do yesterday afternoon at home against the Seahawks. Just run off the field by a pretty average Seahawks team. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll come back and tell you what's trending here on a Monday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's our job to bring the energy the way we play. And, you know, first series had the penalties, the pre-snap penalties that made it hard to overcome that and get the first down. And then the second drive, you know, I missed Ray on that third down. I thought we had a chance for a touchdown there. I threw it long. And that one loomed large as the game went on because we ended up missing the kick. And then got a touchdown and then had the two-minute drive at the end of the half, didn't get anything. And so then we kicked it back to them, and they were able to go down and get points. So those four possessions, you know, we were close, and then we just didn't make the play we needed to make to come away with more points. And
Yes, he didn't make the plays that needed to be made to come away with more points, for sure. That's how you score 14 points in a game. That's Kirk Cousins afterwards, and he's right about a lot of it. I mean, I think he's probably right about all of it. I don't think it makes you feel any better about it. But when they started the game on that first drive and had three false starts at home, like, that's not a crowd noise issue. It's just a, I don't know, unprepared, not locked in, not what, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But to do that on the first drive, told you everything you needed to know about that game. That was a microcosm for it. It's just a lack of attention to detail. And I don't know. Like, it seems like people are kind of laissez-faire about this loss. Like, everyone's like, yeah, it kind of happened. Pretty embarrassing performance yesterday from the Falcons.
I think, like, you can look at it two ways, right? Like you can kind of write it off and say, all right, they just didn't have the gas in the tank today. I don't know why.
How?
But that explains it. But the concern on the back end is, all right, if they show up and look like that today, what's to say they don't show up and look like that four more times at home or in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I guess more than anything, if you want to, like, apply it to a big picture commentary, it's that they're capable of that type of performance at any point.
They can beat that
team, I suppose. Yeah.
And I think that's what people are left feeling with. They can beat the team, they just didn't have it today. That's not okay.
Right.
Like, exactly. This was a big game at home. And we talked about it on Friday, Bunk. There's a big difference between being 5-2 and 4-3.
Yes.
And you are not 5-2.
And here's the reality of it. And I think that's sort of where we were sort of leaning toward with that big picture comment. They are 4-3. Like, they're a team that probably feels more like that than, like, 5-2 is reserved for teams that are, you know, going to show up and not have three false starts on their first drive. And
Doesn't allow opposing quarterback 18 seconds to find an open receiver.
Take the game a bit. I won't say they didn't take it seriously, but for Raheem to come out afterwards and talk about not being ready to go and all of that kind of stuff, like, I don't know how that's possible in an NFL schedule where you have 17 games and you have eight home games. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I guess they had won three in a row, so they decided that they were something that they weren't. I don't know. I'm not surprised the Seahawks were able to score points.
Right.
Thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. Thought it was going to be a bit of a shootout because of what the Falcons' defense is, most specifically what their pass rush is or isn't. But I thought they were going to be able to score points on Seattle. And there were points to be scored. They just squandered opportunities.
Yeah.
A bunch of turnovers, drop passes, penalties, committing penalties defensively in big moments to keep drives alive for Seattle, where they immediately take advantage of it and put points on the board. Just a really undisciplined performance from Atlanta, following what had been a pretty good little run. And again, I guess it just sort of gets back to, all right, they're good, not great.
Here's the thing. You can erase it. You can erase it next week. And that's the thing. But you've got to get after it. And this is a game on next Sunday in Tampa. I mean, you beat Tampa for a second time already this season. I'm not saying you lock up the South. You don't. But that's a huge step.
Definitely.
And so you do it. All I'm suggesting is you have an opportunity to move away from what is an absolutely dreadful performance by replacing it with a good one.
Because this is,
but you have to do that.
It's the worst performance of the year.
By far.
Like all of the other two losses, both of which at home, by the way. Now you're 2-3 at home, which is pretty wild. Week one.
You ran a whole game out of pistol and this was worse.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it.
You had a horrible game plan. It was so bad that you haven't done it at all since then.
And this felt worse.
Since week one. And it felt worse, yeah. I think Pittsburgh's a better team than Seattle is as well, and certainly their defense is better.
But you felt like you had an opportunity to win that game.
You did. You had the ball.
In this game yesterday, and you mentioned it, the three penalties on the first drive. Like, if you're watching this game, and you've been a Falcons fan long enough, you knew. Like, you knew immediately.
Yeah.
I'm very optimistic about this team, Andy, and I held it till like mid second quarter before I started off a flurry of tweets.
But I'll
like,
be honest, I knew. I guess I was lying to myself, but like,
I knew
even late in the third quarter, I was like, the offense is gonna get rolling at some point.
So you were until the pick six, they got a shot.
Yeah, until the fumble, right? Until they took it back.
The fumble. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, I think
that was because it was still two possessions.
They're sustaining drives.
Still two possessions.
They weren't coming through at the end of drives the way that you would want them to, but they were still sustaining drives. They weren't playing quite as urgently as maybe you would want them to. And then I thought, like, at some point they were maybe going to click into it.
Maybe,
and then it just didn't. It
went the other way.
It just never did. They never got in rhythm in that football game. And then
I think I knew immediately.
And
it's just one of those things where I'm trying to find arguments, and they're just not there.
No, it's just a dreadful performance. And it's one of those ones where it's like, oh, did they? Now they didn't. They weren't on short rest. Now they have to travel. Now they were at home on that one. I realized Seattle.
I don't try to explain it.
Had the mini bye, but there isn't one. Like they looked hungover.
It was. I don't try to explain.
They looked
what
like
we
they
saw.
All donated blood on Saturday.
It was just
everybody looked like they had about 70% energy because they all
did
went
they
and
all
donated
run the
plasma.
10-miler with me beforehand. Yeah, I didn't see any of them.
Everybody's up at the PNC Atlanta 10-miler. Like they looked like tired and unfocused.
Midway through the first quarter, it was like it was just this is what we're gonna do today. Okay, well this is not gonna be a fun 3 hours, but here we go.
Yeah, and it wasn't a fun 3 hours.
But here's the thing: we had talked about this team maybe being different than in years past, right? And we had seen a little bit of that in previous weeks and previous wins. I was holding out hope that like that was like what I was leaning on. All right, maybe this team somehow is different, and like you said, they can click into it, and it just never came, and that's what it is. But I'm going to move forward as best I can optimistically and say, as bad as that was, if you beat Tampa, it kind of makes up for it.
Yeah.
Can you replace one with the other?
I'm not there yet. We'll get there as the week goes.
Yeah, I got to talk myself into not doing that on the road.
Right.
Which is its own discussion.
No, for sure.
I also need to see Tampa not like, I mean, there's a chance they dominate the Ravens tonight.
To me, it's like one of those things where if the other team comes out and just kind of handles you,
yeah,
and there's nothing you can really do about it, then that's that. But that wasn't what
you're
yesterday
talking about
was.
Texas now?
Yeah, right. If I'm Texas,
yeah,
I'm looking at that game and I'm like, I guess we hadn't played anybody.
Yeah.
I guess the folks that questioned our schedule and what we had accomplished up to that point were right in doing so. But that's not what happened to the Falcons yesterday. The Seahawks are an okay team. I guess the Falcons are just an okay team too, and they didn't have it yesterday, and the Seahawks did. Now, the Seahawks got some guys back on defense that made that game a little bit more difficult.
They also lost some guys on offense.
Yeah, no, that was just a woeful home performance.
And this isn't the injuries either. Like, the injuries to Atlanta on the offensive line,
No, because they weren't doing
it. They didn't change it.
It wasn't all that different when Bergeron was in there versus when he had to come out of the game.
Or when Hennessy.
Yeah, right.
Either way, that didn't change what was going
to
happen.
We got to see Michael Penix play in an NFL game.
Jace McClelland.
Yeah.
Got a carry.
Equally as exciting. Your sixth-round draft pick running back. Cool day for people that like both the Seahawks and the Huskies. because you got to see the Seahawks win by 20 and Michael Penix make his professional debut, like my family.
Can I be honest?
They're all fired up about it.
I was a little mad at the game plan when Penix came in. Like, can we talk about that?
I understand why they did that.
I get it.
Because I was like, because as soon as they put him in, because it was quite a bit of time. There was still like 4 minutes left.
I was like, I already ran the ball once to Jason McClellan.
If they let Penix throw it and he like does something, like you're just inviting.
Fine.
You're inviting a frustration.
As a selfish fan, I'll deal with shutting down that conversation as I need to. I did want to see him throw.
As soon as he came in, I was like, if they let him throw it, this is about to become a thing. Because Penix is going to let it rip, but they didn't. He threw it one
time. I wanted him to throw.
It was a little check down, and that's all it was. And they ran it like five times.
Washington gets his first catch as a rookie, too.
There you go. A bunch of young guys got in the game late. Just a frustrating, bad performance from the Falcons yesterday at home. Almost the exact opposite of what you saw on Saturday night. From the Georgia Bulldogs, down in Austin, Texas. Here's Kirby Smart afterwards.
Nobody believed. Nobody gave us a chance. Your whole network doubted us.
I did, Kirby.
Nobody believed us.
I believed.
And they tried to rob us with calls in this place. And these guys are so resilient. You know what I mean? We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field? Our intent was not to take pictures, not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent,
hell yeah,
our intent was to eat. Our intent was to come eat and be hungry. I'm not interested in all the bells and whistles. What I want is a team that fights their ass off, and they did tonight.
Yeah, I would. I'd pay money to hear what that pregame speech sounded like, because you know, it was one of the fiery ones. I mean, underdogs. Nobody believes in
at least
everybody
it was
on
truth,
game day picked
to an extent,
against us.
Yeah,
to an extent.
Like, I don't know about the nobody believed in us.
Some people did, but a lot of people didn't, and probably more people didn't than in a long time.
And I think it was fair to be on that side of things because they hadn't shown it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean,
but
yes,
man.
I'm with you because I know a lot of, talk your talk. Your team wins a game like that, you're a Georgia fan, talk trash afterwards. I don't think it was unreasonable for people to believe
question if that
in
was
Texas
in there.
Before the game started. Now, again, nobody on this show. We were loudly picking Georgia on the show on Friday. But again, not that that matters either.
I think the knocks
right
against Texas, though, were accurate. Like,
yes.
When you talked about...
What was your major knock against Texas? Because the one... My consistent week-long knock on Texas came true midway through the second quarter, and I was like, yep, there it is.
I had two.
Okay.
I don't buy the Texas run game.
Fair enough.
And I also pointed out multiple times, Quinn Ewers doesn't extend the ball down the field. It's the short pass stuff. And they killed Oklahoma with big plays off the short passes. If Georgia tackles, they're in real trouble.
Yeah.
They could not stretch the field.
Nope.
Like there was no intent to stretch the field.
Didn't have time to.
No.
Quinn Ewers had a man in his jersey
that's
every
part
time
of the
he hit
reason
his back
they,
foot.
That's part of the reason they went quick against Oklahoma, is Oklahoma was eating.
And then they had to start going quick in the late second
quarter.
It
got worse.
And first half. And then Georgia tackled.
It got worse.
Georgia
yeah.
tackled awesome on the perimeter. Probably an oversimplification, but I've seen enough of it to know. In matchups like this, when talent is equal, the better coach with the better game plan wins the game. And Kirby had a significantly better game plan.
I don't know if talent was equal.
I think across the board.
Those guys showed up. Those guys on the D-line. Texas doesn't have those guys.
I don't know. I think Texas has pretty good guys on their D-line, especially
good.
On the interior.
They're pretty good. They don't have those guys.
I think the under-talked about thing coming out of that game, obviously the Georgia D-line is going to get talked about, and it should. Georgia offensive line played their ass off. That's the best game they played all year. If they played like that, then they would have lived up to the preseason hype that everyone had
Joe
for
Moore
them.
Award.
They would be a finalist for the Joe Moore Award, which they're not. They finally showed up and played. Now, I do think getting the center back, starting center back, goes a long way in helping that. But you saw it midway through the second quarter. They're down 20 to nothing. He's just wandering the sidelines, looking for answers. Vacant look on his face, like slightly sweaty. It's not that hot. It's the classic Sark doesn't know what's happening. I'm under an avalanche of...
It also didn't help that Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning also had that same look after being annihilated
they all
in back-to-back
They're
series.
They're all sitting over there like, what are we going to do? Like, what is... Quinn Ewers and Arch had the... There's that great picture of both of them sitting on the bench like, holy crap, what is this? And then they take...
I liked it better against Louisiana.
Ewers out. And it was like, all right, maybe they're going to put Arch in and use the threat of his legs. And then they come out in the second half and put Ewers back in. So, like, I don't know. It didn't matter. Like, they could have put in... whoever they wanted. It wasn't going to make a difference the way that Georgia defense was playing on Saturday night. But
I thought you were going to go with Peyton. They could have put in Peyton.
I was going to say Vince Young, but I was like, Vince might have mattered.
Vince.
They might have made it. Old school Vince might have made a difference. But it wouldn't have mattered on Saturday night with what they had on that roster. Georgia just showed up, like Kirby said, ready to eat. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the college football Saturday, some other big games, of course. Some very, I'll say it, surprising undefeated teams at this point of the season. Very cool that they're all undefeated. Game day going to a game day going to a unique spot on Saturday, man. Abe's alma mater playing my alma mater, and game day is going to be there. We'll tell you what that is next as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, our Atlanta United play here too for at least a little bit longer. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This season, that is. As they qualified for the playoffs with a win.
They did.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
I know that they needed to win. They also needed a couple of things to break in their favor, which they all did.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Cincinnati.
There you go.
NYCFC did nothing to help the cause. But they got their own result, 2-1. It was a wild game of emotions for Atlanta. It was a wild game of emotions watching the out-of-town scoreboard. For a couple of moments in the 89th minute, it looked like they had given up the lead. It looked like against Orlando that it was equalized. But they went to VAR. They declared it a handball on the equalizing goal. Atlanta United went back into the lead 2-1. Were able to kill the game off from there. Like I said, Charlotte and Cincinnati helped out. They take care of Philadelphia and D.C. And they're heading up today. They're going to Montreal to play tomorrow
night. They play tomorrow against Montreal.
And Joseph Martinez scored two goals at home against you just a couple of weeks ago.
Joseph Martinez plays for Montreal. Last time they played, like Abe just said, scored a couple goals. And
if you win, you play on Friday.
And it felt like when he scored those goals, I remember, it was like, well, that pretty much ends it. Like, that pretty much ends your chances of getting the playoffs. It felt like every single weekend you were like, yeah, and you'd put it on the show sheet, and apologies, we didn't get into it all that much. But we were like, yeah.
Need a win to stay alive.
Need a win to stay alive, and a couple of other things have to happen for the rest of the season, and maybe it can happen. It just felt like the math wasn't really on their side for about a month.
I'll tell you what happened.
It all ended up working out.
Three straight match days, with the exception of maybe one or two results, they had almost everything go in their favor. It was honestly pretty crazy to see what went in their favor over the past three match days. And that includes, by the way, the win against Red Bulls and a win against Orlando City. Yeah. I really thought
handling their own business.
Mike had said like 10% was their opportunity going into yesterday. I don't know about that, but at one point in the season, it was pretty low.
Yeah.
At one point in the season, it was probably less than 10% because of other results. They kept finding ways to stay alive. A team would draw instead of win or stoppage time goals in other games. And they play Tuesday. If they beat Montreal, they play Miami on Friday.
Wow. That's crazy.
They're
in Miami, probably?
Yes.
They already won down there. They won down there earlier in the year. So who knows?
I think they're the only team Miami hasn't beaten this year.
Right.
In one of two. Maybe that's not true. There might be a West Coast team that didn't play twice or something.
Congratulations to Atlanta United. They're in the playoffs. Like Abe said, that's tomorrow night at Montreal, pregame at 6:30. You'll be on that.
I will.
You'll be on pregame. Kickoff at 7:30 with a chance to keep their season alive, but in a place where a lot of people didn't think they would be, myself included, about a month ago. World Series is set. I don't know how much time we're going to spend on that, but it is at least the dream scenario for the networks, the Yankees and the Dodgers. We'll see what that really means. Like, I never really know how much of a difference that makes. We'll find out. Maybe it does. Certainly bigger than if it would have been Cleveland and the Mets, I suppose.
For the casual fan.
Yeah.
Because the baseball purists just want good games.
Yeah, all you want is competitive
games. The
casual
fan maybe tunes in more because you...
There's stars.
Shohei
there's a lot
and
of stars.
Judge, and
yeah,
sure.
There's a lot of stars. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. We were going back through it last time because it felt like the Dodgers and the Yankees, like, historically have played a ton of World Series, and they had way back in the day. I didn't realize they had played as recently as 1981. I thought the last time they played each other was like in the 60s.
What do we count? Three in the span of like 6 years?
Yeah, three in the late
81,
70s.
81, 76, 77, somewhere in there.
So that's the World Series. All right, let's get back into some of what went down on Saturday outside of Georgia and Texas, which was just a phenomenal performance from the Georgia Bulldogs, leading them back to being number two in the AP poll. Oregon number one right now. Which understandable. They beat Ohio State. That's
Would you take Oregon straight up neutral field right now?
No.
Okay.
No, Georgia's better than Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what Georgia showed on Saturday was, even when they don't have everything firing, because they still haven't had everything firing.
They weren't even close offensively.
Right. As much as they won the I don't know, that's the biggest win of the year. I realize Oregon beat Ohio State, but that was in Oregon, and they weren't the number one team. Yeah. Texas was the number one team. Georgia went in there and handled their business. The two-touchdown win on the road against the number one team in the country, and your quarterback played, for three quarters at least, bad. Like, Carson Beck played
bad. Yeah, we can bear bad. Him. We can bear him. It's not
now,
all on him.
Now,
he said that.
I will say this, though, because when they needed a drive, I think it was 23-15, right?
It got down at a, yeah.
After that, you know, after the reversed call and all the crap on the field and all that, Texas punches it in. And then Georgia's 3rd and 10, backed up against their own end zone. And Carson Beck makes a huge throw to Arian Smith.
Yeah, immediate response.
I mean, that was a huge throw. Because the first two plays of that drive didn't go well. And just 3rd and 10, that place is going nuts. It felt like the momentum had shifted a bit. I don't understand the decision that Georgia made to start the second half with that little squib kick. I mean, I guess you're trying to catch them off guard or whatever, but it didn't work. Gave Texas great field position where they hadn't done anything offensively all day, and they're able to take it down and score a touchdown and go for two and get it. It felt like they kind of helped them in that decision to give them a bit of the momentum back. But that great drive, great throw there from Carson, and then they kind of dial up a trick play and get Oscar Delp a bunch of yards, and they end up punching it in.
But two plays, they went from their own end zone to the red zone, essentially.
Those two plays right there, with the way the momentum was going, helped save that game for Georgia, and then they punch it in and no one scores after that. But yeah, Carson Beck didn't play good, and they won by two touchdowns on the road against the number one.
And again, one of the interceptions was definitely on a receiver.
No doubt.
That's going to happen.
No doubt.
I just want to see this team when they play well both sides. Like, I want to see how, like, I'm not saying it's going to be Georgia TCU, like what they did in that game against every team in the country. Mm-hmm. It may not be far off. Like I honestly feel, I guess it depends how you feel about Texas. Like, Texas is still a good team.
Yeah, definitely.
They got manhandled.
Yeah.
I think Georgia would do that probably to every other team if they show up, and especially if they show up on both sides of the ball. I don't think there's a team that can play up and down the field with them.
Yeah.
But they have to have their best on that day.
And they just haven't.
And we've seen that, right.
I don't know that we've, maybe for a half against Clemson, there was that stretch against Alabama in the second half. But yeah, for the most part, the offense just hasn't done it. Now, at a certain point, we said it on Friday, it's a different conversation because they won the game, but if you haven't done it yet, maybe you can't do it. Like, maybe Carson and the receivers.
We kept telling ourselves it's probably in there somewhere, but we haven't seen it. Now that we've seen it, there's also a new expectation for Georgia.
You've seen the defense. The defense, I would say, showed you it. The offense has looked consistently like that for a lot of the year, and maybe that's what they are.
To the same feeling, I feel like the offense can get cleaned and operate.
Yeah.
The same way I felt like the defense had something that they hadn't shown. Yeah. I feel like the offense has it, they just haven't quite dialed it in.
Yeah, the good thing is, after a win like that, you can say that, and it's not as hard to swallow or hard to justify as it would be had they lost the game. And if it does ever happen, yeah. I mean,
You got an off week.
You might beat somebody by 35 who's ranked in the top 10. As for other games that were played between teams that were highly ranked, Alabama and Tennessee went down to it, and Tennessee did the same thing that they've done the last couple of weeks, man.
Yeah.
Nothing offensively in the first half. I think that's a third straight week where they've scored 0 points
Arkansas,
in the first half.
Florida, and now Alabama.
And then they come out in the second half. I mean, hand it to the running back would be
Dylan
what I would
beast.
Do. Give it to Dylan Sampson.
Yeah.
I know, Nico's the guy, but Dylan Sampson's the real bell cow of that offense. But the defense is very good. That Tennessee defense is very good. They're legit. They're going to be able to stack up against anybody. And here we have Alabama with two losses before November for the first time since pre-Saban. And the heat was on DeBoer after some wins. I can't even imagine what sports talk radio in Tuscaloosa must be like today.
Well, it feels like, remember last year, first half Jalen Milroe, and then second half Jalen Milroe turned it on and they figured something out.
Yeah.
It feels like he's back to first half Jalen Milroe. I don't know if that's because they're not designing runs for him, which I believe is part of it. I kind of wonder if he's hurt. And I don't know if, like, just saying a quarterback who's not performing at the level we expect and to say, I wonder if he's hurt is like a fair enough, but like, I feel like they should be running him more, and they don't. Mm-hmm. They certainly did against Georgia early on. There were a lot of design runs, and it absolutely broke Georgia's defense. They're not doing that.
At halftime of the Georgia-Alabama game, it looked like Jalen Milroe was going to walk to the Heisman. Like, it looked like he was the best quarterback in the country. And
they
no
stopped
no
running
stop
him in the second half.
They, st- and I don't
they
know if
didn't
got,
run him against Vanderbilt.
I don't know if that was a if that was a
that may have been game
a decision
situation,
or if that was he got hurt at the end of the half and no one noticed. Yeah, I'm not really sure. But that's tough, man.
This is great for Georgia, though, because Georgia's eventually going to get Tennessee. Yep. That's going to be a top five, top seven matchup, potentially.
Finally, one of these big ones that Georgia will play will be at home.
And it's another opportunity for, I mean, now that we've seen it once, I want to see it again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, from Georgia. And that'll be a statement. They also, the thing about Dylan Sampson is he puts up great numbers. 115 and two touchdowns, seems like every week. It doesn't impact the game as much as you would think. They still need Nico in that pass game to hit big plays. They did in the fourth quarter enough to pull away and win this game. They still need more. I don't think they can compete with higher scoring teams or better defenses.
They're going to probably want to score in the first half at some point.
It would help.
As well.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Now, look, again, the defense is holding their own. The defense has kept them in these games and allowed the offense to come back and win. But that's a nice win for Tennessee against Alabama. That's two times in 3 years now, man. You see that cigar smoke walking out of the stadium and all that stuff. That's
pretty cool.
Did
they rush the field?
Believe so.
Why are we doing that?
Because it's fun.
I don't want to defend that.
Dude, you're never going to hear me criticize college kids for being college kids. They beat Alabama. It's fun. Throw the goalpost in the river. What do you think they should do? Just kind of.
It's a longer discussion if you want to have it.
I would happily.
Okay.
Bullet point it real quick and tease it. We'll get back to it later. You don't like fun.
I think it tells me you didn't expect your team to win. You should rush the field in unexpected circumstances.
It's Alabama.
It's Tennessee. You're a top 10 team.
They're also a top 10 team.
They lost to Vandy.
Yeah, you lost to Arkansas. You beat Alabama. Now, that'll be when Alabama stops getting the field rushed on them. That'll be when it's over.
You mean like Florida State?
Right. Like when it's no
Duke
longer
didn't rush on Florida. I mean,
when it right.
When they never rush that.
When it's
they
no longer when it's no longer all right, celebrate all night long cuz we beat them.
I didn't say don't celebrate. I just it feels like it's demeaning to the coaching staff and players that you didn't believe they could win this game.
I feel like it's fun, and you should rip the goalpost down and throw it in the Cumberland River.
It's definitely
river,
fun now that SEC stadiums allowed drinking.
Whatever the hell river that is. Throw it in the river. Party.
The Columbia
light
River?
Light your cigars. I thought it was the Cumberland River?
Cumberland? I don't know.
But that might be the one that's in Nashville. Is it the Tennessee
River?
Oh,
right. Yeah. I was thinking of Nashville. Yeah.
I don't know my rivers as well as I should. We're getting there. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. 45 minutes of NFL football in about 10 minutes from right now. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.